Turn in your Bibles to the book of Revelation. We continue our series on the subject, Heaven, This Is What We Were Made For. The title of the sermon this morning is The Reign of Christ. The Reign of Christ. Revelation chapter 19, verses 1 through 6. And that sounds like my granddaughter in the nursery. That's all right. Shashi's going to see about it. We're so glad to have Amber and our grandbabies here. Revelation chapter 19, verses 1 through 6. Follow along, please. After these things, I heard a loud voice of a great multitude in heaven saying, Hallelujah! Salvation and glory and honor and power belong to the Lord our God. For true and righteous are His judgments, because He has judged the great harlot who corrupted the earth with her fornication, and He has avenged on her the blood of His servants shed by her. Again they said, Hallelujah! Her smoke rises up forever and ever. And the 24 elders and the four living creatures fell down and worshipped God who sat on the throne, saying, Amen! Hallelujah! Then a voice came from the throne saying, Praise our God, all you servants and those who fear Him, both small and great. And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude as the sound of many waters and as the sound of mighty thunderings saying, Hallelujah! For the Lord our God, omnipotent, reigns. The reign of Christ. Well, here we are. Here we are. In this place. In this present reality. Alive during a moment in history where it seems as if God is not present. During the midst of a raging battle that to our shame we seem to be oblivious to at times. As if all is well. And this is no ordinary battle. This is no ordinary war that rages all around us. We don't hear gunfire. And we don't hear the sound or feel the jolt of massive air ordnances exploding all around us. We don't smell burnt gunpowder. We don't see blood and gore. We don't take in the smell of dead and decaying bodies on the battlefield. And so we surmise that we must not be at war. And yet blood is being spilt all around us. 3,000 children a day are being slaughtered in the abortion clinics of the United States of America. 3,000 a day. And yet people go absolutely berserk because a gorilla is shot and killed when a child's life is threatened. What a disgrace. What an absolute disgrace. When the life of humans have become less valued than the life of a cat or dog or gorilla. But we must not be at war. We must not live in a day when men call evil good and call good evil. You'd have to be blind not to see that we live in that very day. Blood is being spilt all around us, even in some of our own homes. The battle between good and evil, the battle between God's armies and the devil's strongholds, furiously rages in our very midst. And we cannot afford to be ignorant to this, or blind to this, or indifferent to this. Indifferent to the carnage, to the wounded, and to the bleeding souls of our children, our spouses, our parents, our brothers and sisters in Christ, nor even for the lost souls in our own community. We cannot ignorantly or willfully convince ourselves that everything is well when blood is being shed and spilt all around us, even under our own roofs. Let's look at our families, brothers and sisters in Christ. And let us look at the lost through the lens of Holy Scripture. Let us not walk by sight any longer. We must walk by faith so that we may keenly peer into the spiritual realm where the true battle rages. And in doing so, we must say once and for all, it is high time that the body of Christ, the church of the living God, rise up and fight the good fight of faith as fierce warriors of the cross of Jesus Christ. Here we are. And I can speak for me. When I say I anxiously, more and more and more anxiously anticipate the day when the whole world will know that Jesus is Lord. It is time for the church of the living God to quit playing church. Stop throwing the name Christian around so loosely. The word Christian, the name Christian, is thrown around so loosely in our country that it means absolutely nothing. Anybody can wear the name Christian and practically believe or do anything and get away with it, not even be brought to question. It's time for those who are truly Christians to say so and to be so. Because unless and until we do that, blood is going to continue to be spilt. Our children are going to continue to be destroyed. Families are going to continue to crumble into dust. And we're going to continue to see generations of young people grow up, even many of them grow up under the roofs of church buildings, only to walk away from the church and the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, well, they can walk away from the church without walking away from Jesus. I don't think so. And it's time somebody said it. Something is wrong with Christianity in America. Something's wrong. And it's time someone spoke the truth. It's time we started asking serious questions of ourselves. And listen, I know, honestly, I know many of you, most of you, very, very well. I know I'm preaching to the choir here to a great degree. I know a lot of you feel exactly as I feel. I wish I could be standing right now before 20 million people in America who profess the name of Jesus and preach this message right here, because somebody needs to stand up and speak truth. Stop standing behind lecterns and saying, Well, God would have you live your best life now. I hope to God not. I hope and pray the Lord does not want me to live my best life now. I hope this life here is not expected of the Lord for me, for it to be a better life than the one He has prepared for me in heaven. The last I checked, the Word of God says that I'm going to be at war down here. And He expects me as an enlisted soldier of His to hold high the banner of Christ and to stand on the battlefield. And when the smoke has cleared and the gunfire stopped and carnage is laying everywhere, there I stand lifting high the sword of the Word of God as a conqueror. The last I checked, the Word of God says that the true children of God are more than conquerors through Him who loved us and gave Himself for us. Why don't we act like it? Let me tell you, I long for the day when the gods of all the heathen shall be cast down. I'm telling you something, I yearn for the day when I see the crescent of that false prophet, of that antichrist Muhammad, crushed into powder. Oh, you know, coexist. You can't coexist with people who want to kill you. Coexist. And I'm going to go ahead and say it right now. There is one true living God, and every other religion on the face of America is an antichrist gospel. It is not the gospel, and they are not gods. They are the path to hell. There is one way to heaven, and that is through the Lord Jesus Christ, and there is no other way. I don't care what you wear or what you do or who you quote or who you say or coexist. You cannot enter heaven except through Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And I can be liked or vilified or persecuted or hated or called intolerant. It doesn't matter to me. There is one way to the Father, and that is through Jesus, and every other religion on the face of the earth is of Satan. And I long for the day when all of these false gods shall be crushed to powder under the conquering feet of Jesus Christ at His return. I long for the day when the kings of the earth shall bow low before Him who is called the Lamb of God, who wears a sash upon which is written faithful and true, who is known by the name the Word of God, who is called the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and the day is coming. We know, I know, that this world we live in and all that is in it will one day be burned up. Some despair of hearing this. Some don't want to hear this because they're so comfortable down here. But let us be those children of God who look for a new heavens and a new earth. May it be that there can be children of God in America still who understand that this is not their home, that they are just passing through here. Pilgrims wandering through a desolate land. People who actually feel out of place here because we believe so differently. We talk so differently. We think so differently. We live so differently that it can't be denied that this is not our home. It is so easy to become discouraged when all around you, you look and it appears, well, where is God? Where's the victory that He promised? Why don't I see Him reigning? Why don't I see all this evil being crushed beneath the feet of Christ now? Why? And then we cry out in our spirits at least, how long, O Lord, will You delay Your coming? But in the midst of that, we cannot be discouraged and we cannot be disheartened. No matter how long the Lord Jesus may tarry, no matter how long the church may struggle, no matter how long Those who profess the name of Christ may struggle to remain faithful to Him and His holy word. No matter how our society sinks, we must endure for standing up and speaking out against ungodliness in all of its forms, no matter who may walk away from the church. We must be those who will not despair. I still believe with all my heart that a man can be called by God and stand in the pulpit and preach nothing but the truth of God's word and call a spade just like it is. And I still believe that there are people who are looking for a church family that loves the truth, and they're looking for a preacher who will preach the truth. I believe that with all my heart. If I didn't believe that, I would resign my position and I'd go out and get a job of some other kind. If I thought there weren't people who didn't want to belong to a church family who actually loves Jesus and loves His Word and wants to be a different people and who wanted to hear the unadulterated truth of God's Word, I'd just quit. I'd just worry about me and my family, and that'd be it. But I don't despair. I know that there are those who are going to give up and walk away. I know that there are those who cannot stomach hearing the unadulterated truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I know that there are those who cannot hear some of the things you've already heard this morning. I love their souls, but I will not compromise what is truth for the sake of filling up a chair. I have to depend on Almighty God to draw people to this place to be a part of this family who love Jesus and love the truth of God. We cannot, we must not, we will not despair. You know why? Because I know many of you. We are those who believe that God will never allow this world to always remain the devil's stronghold. I know that there are those of you in this room who stand with me firmly in the faithful conviction that the day is coming when all of the glorified, redeemed children of God, along with all of the angels, will in unison shout in the heavens, "Hallelujah! For the Lord our God, the Almighty, reigns." How awesome it will be on that day to know that we fought the good fight, that we are among those who kept the faith, that we are among those who finished our race with honor. Won't it be good to be able to look the resurrected, glorified Son of God in the eyes and know that we had a share in the fight, that we stood for His honor and we stood for His word and we refused to give in or give up or give out or cave in to any kind of correctness, but that we stood on the foundation that is Jesus Christ and none other. And the fact of the matter is, I look around, every single week I look around, and sometimes I just have to be honest, I wonder, why? Why? Why, Lord? Why do you let all this happen? Sometimes I wonder why the Lord doesn't give me a larger voice. more influence with more people. I'm willing to speak the truth. But it seems that my sphere of influence is so small compared to some who speak lies, who won't speak the truth. But then I am brought to a place of being recentered and being reminded that in spite of it all, everything is coming together and playing out in the sovereign purposes and will of my Lord. And that I ought to be among the happiest people to ever live. That I have been actually blessed to live in such a time, at such a place. And I have a purpose. And it is not an insignificant one. Whether I preach to 10 or 50,000. Whether I have an influence with 200 or 2 million. I am here for the right reason at the right time for the right one who called me. And the same can be said for all who are serious about their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. To know that we are among those who can fight and will fight and die fighting if necessary, side by side with Jesus in His name and in His strength. I know, and I am brought to remember how unhappy and how eternally miserable will be those who ultimately are on the side of disobedience and rebellion against Christ and His Word, who uphold evil rather than righteousness. It is a losing side. And to lose on that side is to be lost forever without hope of any reprieve. And so I try to be faithful to ask, whose side will you be on? Whose side will you be on? Well, I've just got this. I'm good. Listen, here's the truth. I have never been one, and I guess this is just part of the way God created me, and I'm thankful for that. I have never been one just to go along to get along. I've never been one to look around and see the pack running over here and say, well, I want to join the pack. I want to run with the pack. Because you know what I found out? About 99.9999999% of the time, the pack is wrong. That's why the Marines have a slogan. I can't remember all of it. The few. What is it, you Marines? The few, the proud. The Marines, yeah. Listen, the United States Marine Corps never desired to be the biggest group among the armed forces. They've never had that desire. They've never promoted that desire. But let me tell you something. The last thing you want to do is get in a fight with a United States Marine somewhere. They'll put it on you. You don't mess with a jarhead. They are the few, the proud, the Marines. They are the first ones in the face of danger. And they clear the way for the United States Army. Not that there's anything wrong with being a part of the United States Army, but the Marines are bad to the bone, Jack. You don't mess around with a Marine. I want to be a Marine for Jesus. No, I want to be a Navy SEAL. I want to be the baddest joker in the county for Jesus. That's my goal. I know I'm not, but I want to be the baddest joker in the county for Jesus. I want to be one of them that the devil trembles when he looks at me and the way I live my life and the words that I speak and the way I conduct myself. I want him to look at me and understand that I walk not in the power of my flesh, but in the power of God the Holy Spirit. That my weapons of warfare are not of the flesh, my weapons of warfare are of the Spirit. And he better not mess with me. That's who I want to be. That's what I aspire to be. Whose side will you and I be on? That's the question, because we're going to be on somebody's side. Let me just kind of roll on now so I can. I love the Apostle Paul's description of the reign of Jesus Christ, present and future. Listen to it. Write it down. You can 1 Corinthians 15 if you want to follow 1 Corinthians 15 verses 22 through 25. The reign of Christ. While you're turning there, can I tell you Jesus was no sissy? Jesus was no weakling. If you want to know what a real man looked like, study the life of Jesus. 1 Corinthians 15, 22 through 25, follow along. As in Adam, all die. Well, there's a fact. One out of every one dies. That's a statistic you can take to the bank. As in Adam, all die, so in Christ, all will be made alive. All who? All of the elect of God. In Adam, all die. Everybody dies. But in Christ, God's elect will be made alive. But each in turn, here it goes. Christ, the first fruits, because he rose from the dead first, right? Then when he comes, those who belong to him. Ooh, boy. Is that going to be a good day? When Jesus descends from the heavens with the trumpet of God, with the shout of the archangel, and he says, come up here. And all of the dead in Christ shall rise from the dead and be changed in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, and shall rise to meet the Lord in the air. Is that what you call a conquering conqueror or what? And then those who belong to him. Then the end will come when he hands over the kingdom to God the Father after he has destroyed all dominion, authority, and power. Sounds like a powerful Christ to me. For he, listen to this now. Here it is. Here's what I'm after. For he must reign until he has put all his enemies under his feet. So let me give you the point of this text. The point of this text is not that Christ will someday cease to reign, but that his reign will continue after his enemies are conquered and judged. The reign of Christ will never end. Christ is reigning now, even when it looks as if evil is winning. Christ is reigning and shall always reign. According to royal tradition, when a prince handed over to his father a kingdom which he and the soldiers had conquered, the king of the prince, right, would commonly entrust rulership of that conquered kingdom back to the son. And this is the point of the passage. When everything is put under Jesus' feet, all of his enemies are destroyed, all dominion is crushed, all false gods and false religions are decimated and are no more. When Satan and his demons are cast into the abyss forever, when all men who rejected the lordship of Jesus Christ are cast into that same abyss, the King of Kings will rule as God the Father intends. The time of rebellion will be over forever, and the universe, and along with all who serve Christ, will participate in the Master's joy ages without end. Today the battle still rages. Whose side will you fight on? Because you see, there are really two choices. Only two. The Scripture describes one group this way. When Christ returns, there will be those who live their lives rejecting Jesus as their Savior, which is evidenced by the fact that they refused to obey him as their absolute Lord that group of people. And there will be many, because broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many there be that go in thereat. Professing faith in Jesus is more than saying, I believe in Jesus. It means obeying Him as the Lord of one's life. That is the proof that you really do believe, you see. There will be a group when Jesus returns who will say, but Lord, 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 didn't we do a lot of things in your name? And He'll say, depart from me, you who practice sin. I never knew you. In other words, sin was a way of life. They didn't run from sin. They didn't eschew sin. They continued to tolerate sin and embrace sin in their own life. And Jesus knows all things, and He'll say, depart, I never knew you. You said you knew me, but I never knew you. And of that group of people, it says they will seek the mountains to fall upon them, to hide the face of the glorified Son of God from them. They won't even bear to be able to look at Him when He comes as the Lion of the tribe of Judah, as the Judge of all mankind. They will beg for the mountains to crush them to death, to hide their face from Him who comes to wage war and judge the nations. But there is another group who will stand before Him and will not face His judgment, because He took their sin upon Himself on the cross of Calvary. Amen. Who were faithful to Him to the end. Who knew they were in a battle for their life, for the life of their children, for the life of their family, their spouse, for the life of their brothers and sisters. They knew they were in a battle for the souls of men who are lost, and they fought the good fight. And they refused to cave, and they refused to compromise, and they were not ashamed to say, hallelujah, my God, the Almighty reigns. And they loved Him, and they followed Him, and they obeyed Him, and they spoke His word. They saw themselves for who they were, a pilgrim passing through this world. This was not their home. They saw themselves for who they were, an ambassador for the Lord Jesus Christ, pleading with all men everywhere to be reconciled to God through Jesus Christ. They saw themselves for who they were, men, women, boys and girls and young people who were enlisted into the army of the Lord. They didn't volunteer. He enlisted them, and they were faithful soldiers to take up the whole armor of God. And they stood in the face of many battles, but they never ran. They were never cowards. They never deserted. They stood strong in the face of danger and in the face of battle. And every time the smoke cleared, they were left standing, because they were soldiers of the cross. Those are the ones who will hear from the Lord Jesus Christ Himself, well done, my good and faithful servant. Enter into the kingdom prepared for you by my Father since before the foundation of the world. Whose side are we on? I know this. By the grace of God, I am determined to be among that number. And my words in eternity future are already recorded. This is me speaking. You've already heard it. I read it. These are the words that I shall yet speak in the glories of heaven, in the presence of all of the redeemed saints of God, along with all the redeemed saints of God, and with the holy angels of God. I know that these are going to be my words in heaven in the future, and I'm going to read them to you. And you know why I'm going to read them to you? Because I'm not going to wait to get to heaven to say them. I'm going to say it now. Whether it's accepted or rejected by others, because I belong to Him. So listen to the words of Big M in eternity future, and listen to the words of Big M right now. And before I read them with authority and conviction, and I'm going to read them loud, because I think I'm going to read them loud, and I think I'm going to say it loud in heaven. I think when all the redeemed saints of God join all the holy angels of God and utter these words, I think if it were possible, the very universe would just fly apart because of the decibel level. So I'm just going to ask you, are you one of those who are going to say these words in heaven? Is He writing about you? And will you live your life and be committed to Jesus right now so that you can say them now and not be ashamed of it? You ready for it? Because God the Father says, this is what I'm going to say in heaven. How about you? You ready for it? Hallelujah! For the Lord our God, the Almighty, reigns. That's right. I'm going to say that in heaven. But I'm going to say it right now. Who wants to repeat it with me? And I'll close. I'll say it one word at a time, so you don't get tongue twisted, all right? I know we Baptistic people, we shy away from saying that. I don't want nobody to think I'm a Pentecostal. Well, let me tell you something. Go ahead and get a little taste of it. Because if you're a child of God, the Bible says you're going to say this word. Do you see me? You might as well get used to saying it now. If this is you, and you're with me, and you know you're going to say it there, repeat with me. Hallelujah!
Hallelujah.
That was terrible. Absolutely ridiculous. Well, I have to do that on every word, brother. On the first word, I will. One, two, three. Hallelujah!
For the Lord our God,
the Almighty reigns. Go tell the world. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, but he washed it white as snow. If the Spirit of God has worked in your heart, you come this morning. I'm here. Whatever your desire is, kneel to pray, speak to me, ask a question about Christ. Whatever it is, whatever God has put on your heart, you come as we stand and sing, Jesus paid it all. Come.